Greetings, 7 Seconds Delay fans. Tonight, a special encore presentation of 7 Seconds Delay from October 1996, the classic Ken and Andy Get Therapy episode with a real live walking around therapist. Don't forget that a week from Friday night, December 5th at 8 p.m., Andy and I return to Monty Hall for the great 7 Second Delay Money Hunt. One lucky listener is going to come out of Monty Hall $259 richer. Andy is so insecure about getting people to come to our live shows that he is going to hide $264 of his son Evan's college fund somewhere in Monty Hall. And throughout the show, we will reveal clues as to where the money is hidden until the clue is revealed and pandemonium shall reign through Monty Hall. That's our next live show, Friday night, December 5th at 8 p.m. Right now, it's Ken and Andy Get Therapy, a rerun from October 2nd, 1996.
Oh, and look who's here. I thought I was going to get a chance to build up the case, against Andy Brecker. But look who decided to show up for his program. And I already have Dr. Pelosi on the air with us. Hello, Dr. Pelosi. Oh, sorry. Hello.
Hi, hello.
Good, how are you?
Pretty good.
How are
you doing?
Andy had decided to show up for his own radio show.
Oh, he decided, okay.
Yeah, which is nice for a change. I never have any idea week to week whether I'm going to be doing it alone or if he's going to come in at the half-hour point.
Dr. Pelosi, hi, this is Andy.
Hi, Andy. Have you
ever been late to work? Have you had to put up with this kind of attitude when you're late to work?
Once.
Ladies and gentlemen, Exhibit A. Now, you know, last week, Doctor, I know you weren't listening, but last week Ken and I sort of had our disagreements, as we do sometimes, as any couple does, and I thought that we might need the help. We've been together for 4 years of a trained...
Five years.
That's what I said, 5 years. Of a trained professional, and you come as highly recommended as any therapist I've ever heard. Where is your practice, doctor?
I'm at 19 West 34th Street in Manhattan.
Oh, great.
And
you've been doing marriage counseling for...
I've been doing that for about six or seven years now.
Well, this is very much like a marriage. Now, do you find that 5 years is the most critical time in a marriage?
5 years is kind of critical, but I think there are a few things that build up to problems, and one of them is communication, and resentment is another big thing. So I wanted to check out whether...
Ken, are you listening to that?
I'm listening, yeah.
Resentment, ring a bell, ding,
yeah,
dong,
I'm listening. You know why I'm listening? Because I have my headphone volume turned up.
Well, I do, too.
That's a little technical concept.
I'm listening, too. You can quiz me about anything the doctor said. Now, doctor, you know what might be helpful? Because I know that you don't listen. I know you've never heard the show before. We've heard that there were people that never heard the show before. It's nice to meet them.
Yeah, I'm going to start, though.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. Well, don't start next week, because that's okay. When we'll spend the hour ripping you apart.
Oh, okay.
You know what might be helpful? If we sort of take a typical phone call and handle it in our typical way.
Okay, and I'll monitor.
And you can monitor, and then afterwards you can critique.
I see.
Because we definitely have a problem somewhere. This show should be a lot more popular than it is, frankly. We're not exactly the a Saturn rocket taking off as far as ratings go. And, you know, the problem is obviously Ken. I know it. Our listeners know it. But I think Ken would like to hear an outside party acknowledge it. It's the only way he could ever change, don't you think?
See, Dr. Pelosi, the issue is that it's a phone-in, it's a telephone call-in show.
Yeah.
And Andy frequently is not aware when there's callers on the line to talk to. He'll just go off rambling by himself. He'll forget to... say hello to callers when they're on the air. He'll forget to say thank you for calling.
It's called style, Ken.
I see.
You might want to look up the word style. Do we have a dictionary here?
He just kind of uses the people who call up as props.
It's called style, Ken. This is not WABC, Ken. This is I'm living on the edge. The people like rudeness.
Yeah.
That's called style.
You can't be rude to somebody if you're not even aware that they're on the phone with you.
That happened once. Are you listening to this? It happened once.
You're like a level.
3 years ago, this happened once. He will not let go. He will not let go, Doctor.
Okay, so there is a little bit of a communicative block or some kind of thing there, and maybe some resentment going on as well.
There you go. I rest Andy, QED. I rest my case.
What about some worthlessness? Are there issues in terms of personal worth? Do you feel self-downing about in the presence of the other?
Ken?
Yeah, I do. I used to have this little rule. I used to have this rationalization that would help me get through the show. Which is that, you know, sometimes the show works. I do have to say that once in a rare while, we'll do a really great show. But when it's bad, it's just like the most humiliating, horrible experience that I have to go through all week to have to
attribute
be
it to the other.
I have to hear.
Yeah,
this.
I attribute it to Andy.
So
I used
Ken.
To tell myself. I used to tell myself that
it's he's the boss. He good... picks the shows. He's the producer. The producer forfeits the right. Correct me if I'm wrong, Doctor.
I'm not
you
the producer.
You forfeit the right to put the show down if you yourself are responsible for the show.
Listen,
all of these bad shows, and I don't deny that there have been bad shows, they've all been topics that you have selected.
That's not true at all. But I had this rule that I would tell myself that I wouldn't quit until we did 8 really stinky bad shows in a row. And we've come very close to the magic 8 number several times. But now after years of having so many times when it's 6 in a row or it's 7 in a row, then we suddenly do a good one, I realize that I can't stick to that anymore. It's still, when it's bad, it's just painful for me to be here.
Number one, isn't it interesting, Doctor? Let me point out that Ken thinks he is the sole judge of when a show is stinky or when a show is good.
I see, yeah.
Do you know
what
Ken,
the sole judge for me.
Ken,
and this is, I'm just
Dr.
telling
Pelosi,
you.
Do you know what Ken said on the air? And our listeners can verify this. On the air last week, Ken said this: I'm never going to die. He said that! I think now you learned about God complex at school.
I was joking. You're taking
you were joking.
You're taking a joke out of context.
And
hello.
Each other a severe disturbance as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think it would be a good idea. Of course, now if we take a sample call for the doctor to listen to us,
yeah. You're
going to be you're going to be really careful. Like, you're going to say hello to them. You're probably going to like have
maybe
a normal conversation. You'll actually pretend like you're even interested in something they might be saying instead of just keeping them there as a prop for your zingers.
Let's see.
Well, do you
Let's see. This is a trained doctor. He'll be able to tell.
Do you feel love for each other despite the bickering and the arguments?
I know Ken feels love for my wife, which I think is one of our problems.
I see. Well, that's a sexual issue, though.
Believe me. Yeah. That's something we're going to have to get into before the hour's over.
It's deeper than that. It's not like that.
Okay, listen. Let's take a call. Now, we have to just come up with a topic that will generate calls. How about we were talking? This is an example. I'm going to suggest a topic. Well, you'll see Ken object to this topic.
Okay, and the goal is to have better relating and fewer arguments.
The goal is to somehow get our show off the ground ratings wise to make our show popular.
Oh, I see.
I believe the show is being
that's
held
not,
back.
That's
by
not
Ken.
The issue. That's not the issue for me.
You wouldn't like to see our show become more popular?
I don't really care.
You don't want to be liked by your listeners. Why do you even come in and put on the headphones?
I guess maybe one of the things that I want out of this experience of having this therapist on the line with us is to just make myself feel better about having to go through this, you know, week after week of, you know, staying at work late and being part of this, like...
Look, you want to feel better, sit in a hot tub. We are here to put on an entertaining hour every week. We're not here to give you a sponge bath.
I just would
that
like
that is so selfish.
I would just like to be able
you would
to,
like to feel better. You would like to spend this hour so you can feel better.
Now see, Andy, I think you really want me to continue doing the show, and I don't think that you realize that
I do
that
I
week
think,
after
I do.
Week when we do these terrible shows, I really don't want to be here. You know, there's better things I'd rather be doing, so I wish that maybe I could get, you know, maybe out of this hour I could learn how to just deal with it better.
Okay. But how do you think I feel when we do these terrible shows? I came the long way here. I spent 20 minutes on the highway longer than I
Yeah, did. you've been taking the long way for 5 years.
That's right.
You've never come here the right way.
I guess my friends, my so-called friends here at FMU were never concerned enough to correct me.
All right, so let's show the doctor our little
let's
topic choosing process.
Doctor, we have many listeners who are in band, so perhaps a good topic would be, tell us why your band is falling apart. Tell us the problems with your band. Why isn't your band a household name? Or why did your band break up? Why is your band about to break up?
Why do you hate your guitar player? That's a good topic.
It's a great topic.
Now, of course, you're showing off for the doctor here.
Oh, usually, I've been saving this topic.
Yes,
well,
usually,
I'm trying to be impartial, as impartial as
okay.
possible.
Now, this is a typical topic, doctor, and we often begin our show by introducing the topic. We exchange a few pleasantries.
Oh, yes. Why don't you do your little benediction for the doctor? Go ahead. That's
I don't know
how,
what
that's,
you're talking about.
That's how we really start our show.
Maybe once I did a benediction, but I don't remember it.
If there's any callers out there, if you want to call up and just... demonstrate that
Will verify that I do not have a selfish benediction that I give at the beginning of every show.
Does the resentment come out in novel ways? Do you discover new ways of experiencing resentment from each other, or is it generally a pretty typical expression?
I think the pattern was set long ago. I've been on the air now. It's true that I don't have as much time behind a microphone as Ken. Ken has been doing this since college. I will acknowledge that. But I've been on the air for 5 years. And yet you'll see, doctor, if we get a call. Oh, uh-huh. I should give our phone number. 678-7743. We want to talk to band members who want to complain about their band.
Or anybody who wants to verify that Andy has a benediction. And maybe tell us what that benediction
is. I'm sure our listeners will agree that I have no such thing. Anyway, I've been on the air for 5 years now, doctor, and he still treats me like a child. He has a young son. He treats me, I'm sure he talks to his son in a more mature way than he often talks to me. And do I resent it? Yeah, I'll say it. Honestly, I do. 201-678-7743. And
my 2-year-old son is in many ways more mature than you are, Andy.
I can't believe that.
In many ways, he's more considerate of other people.
I've met your 2-year-old son, and the only experience I have with him is him throwing up on my wife's shoes. I ever thrown up on your wife's shoes? I could take your 2-year-old son in chess. I could take your 2-year-old son in a 100-yard relay if you gave me just somewhat of a head start.
Yeah, but the thing, my 2-year-old son, he'll communicate with people, and he's you won't feel like they're just using you. It's a little springboard.
Look, let's take a call.
To make your jokes.
Fine, let's take a call. We're talking to band members who are having problems with their bands. Hi, you're on the air. Thank you very much for calling.
Hi.
Are you in a band, or do you want to verify
that? Well, I was in a band, but I was kicked out because the other band members thought I couldn't sing.
Uh-huh.
What was the name of the band?
Betsy Ross and the Boys.
Oh, that's great. And are they still together?
They're just the boys.
You were Betsy Ross.
And who's lead singing now?
One of the boys.
So do you think that they were telling you the truth when they kicked you out of the band?
Why don't you sing a moment?
Oh, no.
Just sing five bars for us.
I have a problem with shyness.
Come on. Left a good job in the city. Come on. Left a good job in the city. You can do it.
Well,
working
have a
for the
performing in
working
front of people.
For the man.
Every
well, how
night
did...
Andy.
Oh, that's Betsy. Good. That's good, Betsy.
Thank you.
Now, how did they break the news to you that you were out of the band?
Oh, it was slow, over several months.
Oh, God.
So there wasn't
little
one...
Little insinuations, little comments, little jokes.
And did they say that it was unanimous, or was it one guy's decision?
I think one guy had more to do with it than other guys, but eventually they told me it was unanimous.
Of course they did. You know, Betsy, for about $800, we could have that guy killed.
Only $800?
$800. You have to act now.
It's gotten a little bit more expensive since last time.
You ever
hear something called inflation,
salary.
Andy? This isn't 1969
I know a
anymore.
I know a guy that will do it for $800, but it might take him years.
That's how much it'll take.
Why don't you
to
think
earn
about
that
it?
Much anyway.
Don't
so.
Say yes. Don't say no. Just
well,
think
Betsy,
about it.
Well, Betsy, would you have preferred if they had just kicked you out immediately and just said, this just isn't working out. We really need to find
that
another
thing. That would have been a nicer way to do
it. Yeah.
So you're calling to put the word out to avoid...
Be direct.
To avoid this band. Do not support this band.
I don't hear her I hear you doing that. I don't hear her doing that.
I'm reading between the lines. I know women can. That's one thing. I would have to say that's my strength.
I have to say
reading
that
women.
Betsy doesn't really sound that embittered. She sounds a little sad.
Okay, listen, Betsy, how would you feel if you walked into Tower Records and saw a big poster for that band and saw that their record was number one? Tell Ken how you would feel.
That would hurt.
There you go. And you hope that never happens, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Make
Thank
sure
you,
it
Ken.
Never happens.
Ken, it's called human behavior, Ken.
we're gonna have to get you a little basic psychology book, Ken, and you'll be able to follow along with our little conversations a lot better.
Well, thank you for cultivating the worst aspects of Betsy here, Andy.
I think that happened long ago. Betsy, thanks very much.
Thank you. I'm with
you, Betsy. Screw that band.
Yes.
Okay.
I will. Thank you, Bob.
Okay.
Now, that was, I would say, a typical Ken and Andy 7-second delay phone call.
That was actually pretty instructive.
That was in many ways. Yeah.
Okay.
I would say so.
Now, let's turn it over to our doctor.
Well, it started off pretty well, and I think what happened was I noticed that Andy took over the kind of leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And interestingly, Ken allowed you to let the call kind of unfold. But then what happened was, I think, then the suggestion of severe sociopathy and paranoid schizophrenia about committing the contract hits.
Yeah.
I think then it started to go a little downhill, because then you started bickering about even how we should unfold the contract hit.
Okay, but I my joke about $800 for a contract hit, that was just your basic, your standard Jay Leno, David Letterman joke, right?
That was the joke, yeah.
Okay, it comes right out of your basic talk show manual.
Well,
Ken was the one that introduced conflict in that exchange, wasn't he? Oh, no, Andy, it cost more than $800. He couldn't let me enjoy my moment.
Well, that was my attempt. That was my attempt at furthering the joke. I was going with your joke. I mean, you know, one thing is that
this is my impression of Ken. Oh, there's Andy getting a good joke. There, killed that. Thank you. Let's move on.
Okay.
No, but doctor, what I want to illustrate to you about what just happened there was that, you know, here was a nice, sweet caller, you know, with calling exactly on topic. She had been kicked out of a band.
Right.
And she had a wonderful voice. We had good fidelity with the call, which we don't always have. And Andy just wanted to use her there just to go off on a little comic tangent. He didn't really want to talk to her.
You would rather hear about the genesis of Betsy Ross and the boys.
It's a talk show. I want to talk to her.
What would you rather hear? Aren't I more entertaining than that woman? What would you rather hear about?
I think this is very instructive right now. Because that's really what it's all about. Andy thinks he is so much more entertaining than anybody else.
Why don't you just have a little card that just says, oh, that's interesting, tell me more. Keep playing that over and over.
You are very funny. There is no doubt about it. You are very funny. But people who do talk shows, Jay Leno or David Letterman, they are very funny also. But they let their guests talk. They converse with them. They're not just using them there as props to allow themselves to demonstrate how they are the wittiest person around.
If I get a call that I sense is very, very bright and very sharp and witty, of course I will defer to them. I yield. I'm not stupid. I think I was more entertaining than Betsy. Well,
You're here asking people to call up. Then they call up and you don't want to talk to them. And that happens call after call after call.
I'm sorry, I was thinking about something else. I'm not laughing at you.
You know, I wonder if there's actually some real love of each other and desire for approval from each other. So maybe that's going on as well.
I don't see that. No, when Ken says, hey, you handled that very well, I will admit that I feel sort of proud of myself.
Yeah, so there is some love there. We've got something to build on.
Now, can this talk show be saved, in your opinion, Doctor? Do you think if we were a married couple and we came to you, would you be saying to yourself, these people are never going to celebrate their 20th anniversary?
Well, I was going to ask you, where do you see yourselves in 5 years? Do you envision a future with each other? Are you planning kids, that kind of thing?
We never really have discussed long-range plans here.
Oh. So you just take it kind of day by day.
You know, I actually serve here at Ken's bequest. He is the station manager, and he schedules the shows. So he's not only my co-host here, he's also my boss, which complicates things. It's as if you had a married couple in front of you, and the wife is the owner of a corporation, and the husband is a employee.
Okay, well, I will acknowledge that the high points of the show for me, you know, that the positives do outweigh the negatives, but the negatives are very, very long.
Duh! I mean,
it's
a two-way street. Duh!
I mean, this show is kind of like walking uphill for 4 hours and then running down
downhill really fast, and then walking. I mean, we'll do like five bad shows for every good one. And the good ones do outweigh the five bad ones, but it's so hard to get through the five bad ones.
I don't think you're being honest. You've often said that you've enjoyed shows where it's just you and I begging for calls, or it's you and I trying to dissect what went wrong with the premise.
Well, you actually
of course, now that we're on mic, of course, you'll deny it.
Yeah, I guess because the thing that bothers me the most is the way you treat the callers. So
your perfect show would be, it's a lousy topic, no one calls. Hey, I wonder why our show's not more popular. Ken is hoping for shows where no one calls.
Oh, so Ken, you might be spying on yourself and actually maybe criticizing
exactly.
the show in your head.
Exactly. He's transferring.
And not really accepting that the show might be going along pretty well.
Well, that's possible. I mean,
when people compliment the show, Ken is genuinely surprised. I've heard him. Oh, really? You like that show? He genuinely is surprised.
Okay.
Oh, doctor, you have no idea. Get me out of this. Get me another show. Call that Howard Stern network, whatever he's on. He has a new network, I think.
Yeah, it hasn't started yet.
Yeah, call that radio network.
Well, Dr. Pelosi, you want to hear us take another call?
Okay, that'd be great.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
You can tell this, doctor.
Hi, you're on the air.
You love the show?
Doctor, I have an objection to this whole being forced to grovel and admit that I love the show when, you know, I may not.
I never do that. I'm just suggesting as a proper way to begin.
No,
you might want to say love the show.
For me, the show starts out in a problematic fashion with the benediction because...
You see that? There is a benediction. Something...
I never denied that I didn't once do a benediction.
You start out
apparently that's what this listener heard.
With the benediction, which basically says that my show succeed while the shows of my friends fail, and may I always be seen as a team player.
Yes, that's the benediction he does every week, Doctor.
It's like Richard III. There's like this nasty little hunchback lurching behind that comment. You know,
now he's making fun of my physical deformity.
I'm not.
Now he's making fun of my hunchback.
I'm not doing that at all. All I'm saying is that, it can only go downhill from there.
Doctor, we should tell you that this caller is a mutual friend of ours.
Uh-huh.
He has another show on this on the same station.
So, doctor, I might be someone that you would turn to talk about talk shows because I've been doing one for a very long time.
You could write a book about this guy's show.
Well, he's a coworker, okay, one of your peers. Yeah, I guess we should be honest with.
He's also
with Dr.
Why don't you be totally honest? Try it for once and say. That he's also my only competitor. He's the only other talk show on this station.
Well, that just goes to show how ignorant you are, Andy, because there are other talk shows on this radio station.
Well, I might know that if you ever told me what the number
See,
was
the thing,
on
the
dial.
The funny thing about Andy's benediction is that it ends, may I always be perceived as a team player. And he's so clearly not a team player. And on one hand, it's refreshing that he pulls no punches about not being a team player. But on the other hand, it really does make other people mad, the other people who really are team players.
Is this benediction sort of a template for the show? I mean, it's something that both of you
yes.
look to as an anchor.
I do begin the show by saying, may my show succeed, may the shows of my friends fail, and yet I always want to be thought of as a team player. That's a little prayer I do.
Now, Doctor, I have a little more understanding of the benediction after getting to know Andy. Basically Andy's one focus is on the joke. He's always looking for the opportunity to make a joke or to deliver a punchline because he wants to be loved. I mean, desperately he wants to be loved, and he wants us to love him.
Oh, like you don't want to be loved.
Oh, everybody wants to be loved.
Yeah,
Andy.
That's so unusual.
No, I'm not saying, please let me finish, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm saying that's a wonderful quality that you have. You're an entertaining person. You want to be loved. Ken's focus is on the listeners, and he wants the listeners to feel more a part of the show. He wants them to feel like they're actually being attended to. Taken care of.
So is that an inherent conflict?
I think it is.
Oh, I disagree. I think the best shows are the shows like Lennon and McCartney brought two different sort of temperaments to the Beatles. The best shows are the shows that combine the best of Ken and my temperament.
But they were agreeing on the same song.
Well,
not all the time. Revolution number 9, they argued, they bickered for months.
Oh, mm-hmm.
No, that was just Lennon and Yoko.
Old Brown Shoe?
That was,
Brown
that
Shoe?
Was George Harrison.
Yeah.
thanks, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to take some other calls.
If you want to tell me that Lennon McCartney always agreed on every song.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
So you're saying that there's some tension, Andy, which is actually a positive thing.
I think so. Haven't you been entertained for the last 20 minutes?
It's very, very entertaining.
Okay. Yeah, but I think that Chris, who just called, really hit on an important point, which
is to be loved.
Well, no, which is that the problem with the show for me is that it's like a horror show sometimes. Andy's asking people to call up, and then he's just abusing them. He can be incredibly cruel to them.
So, Ken, when people call and they do, are they retarded? Are you saying that callers could call because they're so stupid they can't understand what the show's about? They call. Explain that. I want to hear. The floor is yours.
Why do people call Bob Grant to be abused? Because, you know, people want to call. They want to be
on the
radio.
You're calling them retarded.
No, I'm not.
Wait, hold on. Listeners, Ken doesn't know what he's saying. You're, of course.
A lot of times you lure people in under false pretenses. You say, we're talking about this. And then they call up to talk about that. And you pay no attention to them. You just use them as...
Do you think I ignored Betsy and of Betsy and the Boys Doctor?
I didn't sense really abuse. I noticed
that was a very mild example.
Oh, I'm sorry. 5 minutes ago, someone here, sitting here by the name of Ken, said that was a very typical call.
It was typical, but mild. I mean, you've had shows that are absolute horror shows. I mean, you forget they're on the line.
Let's take another call. If you are in a band and you have recently broken up or your band is in trouble, give us a call and tell us about it. Just ignore the doctor, the therapist sitting in the corner. Just ignore him. And we'll take your call. We had some people on the line, and I guess we lost them.
Yeah, because we were just yakking.
Hey, Stork, Star 69. Can Stork do that?
Yes.
Can Stork Star 69 him? Hey, Doctor, here's an example of what happened last week. We were calling people who were sick to try to cheer them up. That was the topic.
Oh, this was a great one, yeah.
Okay, that was the topic, right?
Cheering people
who were sick.
It was a good concept. It was a very atypical concept for Andy Breckman, believe me. Calling people up in the hospital who are sick and their friends or relatives, give us their name and number.
Demonstrating care and love.
So even, look, I can't
Well, in Andy's case, just using them
to make
jokes.
Not true at all. Oh, please. We really cheered up a number of people.
He drove this one woman to tears last week.
Tears of joy. Oh, that is so unfair.
Those tears.
Oh, you are twisting happened.
Aunt Tess was not crying tears.
Please, anyone that heard last week's show, give a call. 201-678-7743. Aunt Tess was crying from joy. Because we brought up her daughter.
Yeah,
her,
you reminded her. You made Aunt Tess miss her daughter so much.
Oh, I got to hear this. So when you go to the hospital to visit someone sick, you don't talk about family members or things that might bring them pleasure. You only talk about how the playoffs are going.
I mean, it was clearly upsetting her, and you went on and
on. That is not true. I want someone that heard last week's call to verify this. Oh, Ken, you are just not being fair. And then, listen to this, Doctor. I had one idea. There was one woman who we called who hung up on us.
Uh-huh.
Okay? That, I don't believe, has ever happened before.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't have happened if I had...
Okay.
Been the dominant person talking to her. You have this.
Right.
You have these. The premise of the show basically is that, you know, tell us the names and phone numbers of your friends or relatives who are sick, and Andy will call up and abuse them.
And why did the phones light up, smart boy? Why? Because they were retarded.
They didn't light
up. Anyway, this woman hung up on us, and then I had this idea because it would be entertaining for our other listeners. Ken doesn't seem to remember that they're out there. I had this idea to call that woman back. To call her back and try to talk her into leaving us some money in her will.
Yeah.
That's kind of a funny idea. Ken thought, oh, no, it's in such bad taste, we can't possibly do that.
But, you know, I think better relating and fewer arguments is not going to be what's achieved here, because both of you do have a slightly different track, and it seems to work well overall. I mean, maybe you provide a good counterbalance to each other, but you're never going to really relate that much better because you're settling into that... communicative style.
What is a communicative style?
Well, one is that I think you, Andy, take control, and as Ken said, you become dominant. And then Ken sort of senses that you're either becoming reckless or going off the deep end or something, so he tries to rein you in. And by the way, Ken, you can correct me if
so
you're just, wrong.
Oh, why would he correct you? You're siding with Ken.
well, I'm not siding. Really.
Ken, correct me if I'm wrong, but Andy is to blame.
Not to blame, but would you agree, Andy, that you tend to get a little reckless?
I would say, well, I wouldn't use the word reckless. I would say entertaining. And
okay.
I would also say that how could there possibly be a couple where there's not one person dominant?
Yeah, well, let's think
Have
about...
you ever had a married couple, Doctor, that where one person, where they were exactly perfectly even?
No, but they do find a counterbalance. It becomes sort of a stable situation after time, if it's going to last. Now, you guys have been together for 4 years, so you have created a style which seems to shuffle along. You know, sometimes for better and sometimes for worse. But I wonder what your real goal is. If your goal is to express better love for each other, that's one thing.
No. I'd like to entertain people for 60 minutes.
Okay, and maybe, Ken, is that your goal also?
No, my goal is how to better rationalize my involvement in this abysmal program.
See. So you may have your own issues regarding the whole enterprise.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I feel that the positives do outweigh the negatives, but I have to subject myself to 5 horrible hours of radio for that 1 good hour, and I would just like to better be able to deal with that, because I'm obviously choosing to continue doing it. You know, I'm not here against my will,
this
obviously.
This is just so hurtful. This is breaking my heart, because I have been enjoying coming here. I drive way out of my way, apparently, to come here. I look forward to it. Is my life so pathetic compared to Ken's?
I actually
look forward to Wednesdays at 6.
Yeah, I wonder if, Ken, if you do have a pessimistic view, and maybe since
you haven't even begun. Ask him about Dealey Plaza sometime. Here, let's take this call.
Okay, we have a caller, so maybe you'll get a chance see.
Could be about a band member, or it could be someone verifying last week's show.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, you love the show.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I like the show.
Okay, you love the show. Great to hear that.
Are we still talking about last week, that woman that cried?
Yes.
Were
you listening last week?
Yeah, I was listening last week.
Okay, could you please tell the doctor exactly what happened?
Well, this woman started crying, and I don't think it was tears of joy. In fact, I know it wasn't tears of joy. She was upset.
And would you say that she was upset possibly because of some of the things Andy was saying to her?
Well, I don't know.
Didn't her niece give us her this? A doctor, a woman called and said, please call my aunt in Vermont. My aunt needs cheering up.
Massachusetts.
So we called the aunt, and I naturally said, your niece asked us to call. Okay, doctor?
Yeah.
At the mention of the niece, the aunt, who misses this niece terribly, begins to get teary. Okay?
Oh, I see.
But how could I possibly have initiated a conversation without mentioning the niece?
It wasn't accurate. Thank you, caller. That was not accurate.
Caller, perhaps you'd like
to say the niece's name, and she started crying.
I think that's what happened.
Medicated. It wasn't just Andy, but...
Yeah, this woman probably, before I called, was crying at a card trick somebody was doing.
No, she didn't really want to talk at first, but Andy and Scarlett insisted on it.
Right, she didn't want to be... You know, she's an old sick lady at a nursing home.
What should we have done? Called her?
And she didn't...
I'd love to hear the options available to me.
Immediately, she didn't want to be part of the process, and you insisted on, you know, and she started crying.
And wait, wasn't I so sweet, though?
But see, then, like,
Yeah.
Like this week, Andy sort of like said, "Well, you know, it was tears of joy," or you know, sort of made a joke out of it.
When she remembered her niece, she was saying how she missed her niece. I wish my niece would move back up to this area, and I embraced her over the phone. It was as close to a hug as I could manage over the phone.
So we don't know whether they were tears of joy or tears.
No, they were tears of joy.
It wasn't joy.
So we all agree it was tears of joy. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, listener, for verifying my version of the event, Tears of Joy.
No, wait a minute. You just, like, turned it around.
But
I'll say, I do like the show, and I like to listen to it, but you probably don't have more callers because I'm afraid to call in, and I only feel safe calling now.
When there's a therapist on the couch?
You see that? You see that? This is somebody who would have called. You scare most people away.
Is this somebody?
I mean, you're not even aware. You have this incredible mean streak. You made that old lady cry last week, Doctor.
I did not make the old lady cry.
Yes, you did, Doctor Pelosi. You know what Andy did a few months ago? He kicked a kid out of his band. He found out the concept of the show led us to finding out that this one guy wanted to kick out this other guy out of the band. So Andy's like, "We'll kick him out of the band." So Andy gets us. I didn't want to go along with
but
Andy insisted.
Like
Andy insisted so much that we call this kid up, and we called him up, and we got him live on the show, and Andy kicked him out of the band, and this kid was crushed.
And what kind of gun was I holding to your head? Can you describe the weapon? If there was a tape of that, it would be very clear
that I did not want to do that.
There are instances every week where something is suggested, and you don't do it. You refuse to do it. In this case, you did dial the phone.
But, Andy, I guess at a certain point, you may have to actually address this question that if people aren't calling because they're afraid to talk to you, then is that a factor?
But this fellow is listening. This fellow is entertained, which I would say is 90% of my job.
Right.
And, in fact, look, he's still here.
Yeah. He's still on the phone.
Yeah, because we have a therapist on the line with us.
So he feels safe.
Yes.
Yes, I feel safe.
Is this a caller that you've missed, Ken? Do you wish we had this caller?
Well,
there's plenty of weeks when I wish we had any caller. And you know that, Doctor. There's some weeks when nobody calls.
Because Ken would not let me do the show of my choice. All right, thank you very much. Let's take another call. Thank you very much,
bye.
Caller.
Bye bye.
Okay. So they were tears of joy. Okay.
See,
let's call the old lady back.
Dr. Paluzzi, you can see that,
I'd be willing right now to call that old lady back.
Exactly. Exactly.
I would.
You'd be willing to call her back.
And I would.
Yeah, like you really made her week last week. Let's call her back again. Just like last week, a lady hangs up on you. You want to call her back and say, put us in your will.
Because that would have been funny. Oh, by the way, did you make that call last week? No. So apparently you do have free will and you can refuse to make calls. Okay, let's take the next call.
It really depends on how loud you scream.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because you're spineless. I just roll over you.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, you love the show.
I love the show.
Thanks very much.
What's your name?
Martin.
Hi, Martin.
Martin, are you calling to talk to the doctor?
Well, I'm calling to speak to anyone who'll listen because I think that's a big misunderstanding that everyone seems to experience today is that it's really the Andy Breckman show. And Ken is the sidekick.
Exactly.
I said that. I said that when the doctor was wondering why I let you take the dominant role in the phone calls. I said, I'm a co-host. I'm just a sidekick.
Right, but at the same time, Andy, you often pull Andy back from allowing him to have free reign with the callers and with the direction that the show is taking.
All right, let me just interrupt right here by saying, God bless you, caller, and your work. Whatever your work is, God bless you.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I tune in every week is because Andy's on the show. Ken, I hate to tell you this, but when you have the show to yourself or when you're with Stork, the entire show deteriorates into some bleeding heart discussion about heroin addiction or something that brings everybody down.
Yeah, if I wasn't here tonight, you know what we'd be doing, Doctor? Uh-huh. We'd still have Betsy on the line, and we'd be describing the first rehearsals of Betsy and the Boys. We would not have moved on.
I see. Absolutely. So you're saying... Andy, that some hostility is necessary in order to keep the show
exactly.
Lively.
It's true that callers do call up, and it's true that there is often conflict with the callers that call. But my eye is not on those three or four callers that are calling. My eye are on the 95% of other people who are not calling.
But is it hostility that's directed indiscriminately? Because you seem also to get hostile towards Ken. Now, I don't know if that's also part of your personality or whether it's something you want to change.
Now, I have another personality, and I was thinking about trying it out, but so far this one seems to be doing okay.
Ken is also a willing participant many of the times.
He is! That's right! He is! He doesn't kick and scream like this every week. Absolutely. He's just putting on a little dog and pony show for the doctor.
So you think, Andy, that Ken is putting up a front or being
I think nice? Ken is. I think Ken is protesting far too much here, and I think he's being slightly disingenuous.
Do you agree with that, Ken?
No, I don't think so. I really think I'm being honest. You know, I know that I'm a sidekick to the show, but just the things that Andy wants to do sometimes are so incredibly cruel that, then I become his boss, and I won't let him do that.
So
something that the caller said, that's accurate. Yeah, I have to rein him in a lot.
So you have veto power.
I mean, look
power.
What he got away with. Look what he got away with that 1 week where you kicked that kid out of the band.
That was very entertaining. That kid, okay, it was not the best phone call that kid ever got. I'm not going to lie to you. But I think I was more gentle than his fellow bandmates would have been. Better to hear it from a professional, a mature adult who knows how to break news.
Yeah, better to have it broadcast over the tri-state area. Be humiliated right on the air. Oh, yeah, you gave it to him gentler than his band would have given it to him on the air.
I guess my priorities, Ken, are the listeners out there. The literally, Doctor, we have dozens of listeners that Ken ignores every week. Oh, don't offend the person on the one person on the phone. Because even if it means giving the all the listeners a bad show, that seems to be Ken's credo.
But it just occurred to me that you're both dominant, but in different domains. You, for example, Andy, are dominant on the interactive domain, but Ken is dominant in terms of his position as producer and as official of the show.
What can I do? I need my own show on another station, don't I?
Fine. You want to know what happens, Doctor, when I leave? There have been shows that were so embarrassingly bad that I got up from the microphone and walked away. The second time I tried this, Andy figured out what to do. He got up from the microphone and walked away also. So I came running back.
Oh, so you get disgusted.
Yeah, I get disgusted and literally walk away.
Well,
I'm not making that up. I've done that twice.
I guess I feel a little more responsibility toward my job than Ken. Have you, Doctor, ever walked away in the middle of a session?
I'm the sidekick. My own show. I don't get disgusted during
Doctor,
my own show.
Doctor, I know you've had husbands walk out of sessions. I know you've had wives walk out of sessions. Have you, though? Have you ever walked out of a session?
Not that I recall.
Can you imagine anything more irresponsible for a therapist to do? And here Ken's sitting here bragging about how he gets up and walks away.
If the doctor knew what had led up to that decision, I think he'd be proud of me.
We're at 678-7743. We're at area code 201. Please call and tell the doctor who's right and who's wrong here. Or call if you have a band problem and the doctor can hear us.
And now pop quiz, Andy. What's our caller's name?
The caller that's on the air right now?
Yes. Or is
Do you know? Do you know?
Yes, I know.
How do you know his name?
You know, I thought
asked him his name at the beginning of the call.
No, you don't.
Yes,
you
I
don't
do.
Know his name.
Yes, I do.
You know, I thought I'd even hear some backhanded compliments, but they don't even seem to be backhanded compliments. It's just pure aggression at this point.
What is the caller's name? I got to hear this.
Martin.
Caller, is that right?
Well, yes.
He told us
Andy,
his name.
I knew you would have guessed.
But that's really good, Andy. You realize there was still a caller on the line. So you're making progress.
Martin, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon.
And you hear what he just did, Doctor? He just said, Martin, thank you very much. And he ended the call. He almost never does that. He almost never ends the call.
Look, if I was going to end every call with a little polite exchange, you add those up at the end of 5 years, we will have wasted two shows. I'm thinking, Ken, about the other listeners. You understand, Ken, that there's more than just the people on the phone listening.
Uh-huh.
Often 5-6 times as many people are out there listening. And I, my heart is with them, I guess. 201-678-7743. You know what, Ken? You would be a horrible political analyst or a horrible campaign manager because you would only worry about the 8 people in this little room. You wouldn't think about, oh, my gosh, there's cameras here from CNN. There's millions of people watching.
Yeah, but how far do you take that? I mean, at times it's like a freak show, you know? I mean, I listen to Bob Grant. I listen to Rush Limbaugh, you know, not because I listen to Hate Radio because it's a freak show. I'm not denying that, you know, that we have a few listeners.
If then you must be so ashamed of the show. The only people listening are people listening as they might watch a car accident.
You know,
like rubbernecking. If you think that's what our listeners are doing, they're rubbernecking on the highway.
Sometimes,
looking at a car accident.
Yes.
Looking at a grisly mess on the shoulder of the road.
Absolutely.
And that's horrible. These people are being, oh, please call.
I just realized.
201-678-7743. That's offensive.
No, you guys actually, I just realized, have a great show because, you know, despite each individual's input, the overall effect seems to be one that keeps careening somewhere, and I'm always looking to see where it goes. So,
and you're thinking that the pendulum sort of ends up in the middle.
Well, I don't think in terms of a pendulum. I think in terms of, let's say, a car rambling down the road, and we don't know exactly whether it's going to stay on the road. So that kind of tension can be a real positive thing there.
Well, this is a particularly good show. You know, usually I don't get to voice any of this.
Oh, my God.
I don't. It's your
number
show.
Number one, Doctor, just so you know, Ken is sitting at the control boards, and he has in the past literally, I'm not talking figuratively, literally turned off my mic. Literally. He's not only my boss. He is the guy that's controlling the volume of my microphone. And to hear him sitting here complaining, oh, now he gets to talk tonight, it just gives me the willies. I don't know if that's a technical word you learned at school, Doctor. Yeah. I have the willies.
I see. That's a diagnosis?
That's my diagnosis. I don't know what you do for the willies. I know that's like 5 years of intensive twice-a-week therapy.
No, it's just Sudafed.
Yeah.
That always works.
Yeah.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I love the show, whether they're good shows or bad shows.
Oh, thanks.
Exactly.
What's your name?
Noel.
There's no such thing as a bad show.
You got it. As long as you're on the air, I'm quite happy to listen. You can do anything you want. It makes me feel good to listen to your voice.
But what makes it a bad show?
There is no such thing as a bad show. We all listen because we want to hear Andy talk. I mean, he could say anything he wants. We just want to hear him talk.
But do you like the dynamic?
Wait, let me get Ken a pencil. He should write that down.
I love it when they go at each other like they're doing right now. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's not just Andy talking. It's also Ken's contribution and reining him back.
Oh, yeah, you need Ken because he has a good side. He's a good side man, but Andy is the show. I mean, he's tops.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have a sparkling wit.
Anything
should I pull my punches? If you were managing a boxer, Ken, would you say, okay, go in the ring. Ooh, but don't hit as hard as you can. Ooh, make sure you pull those punches. We know you have a smashingly strong uppercut, but my God, don't use it.
Yeah, no. Andy, if there's a lot of money in the fight, I might tell you to do some of those things.
Well, I'm in the ring now. But I'm using all my uppercuts and jabs.
Don't compare him to Bob Grant or Rush Limbaugh.
Well, you know, you are.
You're a different element.
You're a George Foreman. You're not a Muhammad Ali. So, you know, good analogy.
I don't know enough about boxing to be offended or not.
Regardless, you do a good show.
Wait, aren't they? Okay, thank you very much.
Wait a second. Pop quiz.
Yeah.
Andy, what's the caller's name?
Oh,
please,
no.
Come on. It's Martin.
Think of Christmas.
Think of Christmas, of course. Thank you, Santa. And keep listening.
Thanks, Noel.
Oh, Noel. Damn.
Yes, Noel.
Noel, damn.
You're 0 for 2.
Okay, and explain to me why that matters, that I have to know their name.
Oh, it would just be
tell
nice.
Me,
it would
me.
Be nice to pretend that you're not totally using them just so that you can blather. And
so
I agree with Noel. You're very funny.
The goal is being nice. Is that what you're telling me?
No.
The goal has changed now.
No, the goal's not being nice. Do you have to be so mean and arrogant and insensitive in order to be funny, though?
So you're saying these people that listen are retarded, or the people that call are just nuts? No. No, they're calling because they can take it. Maybe these people can take it. Maybe they're adults, Ken. Maybe they're grown-ups and are making grown-up decisions for themselves. We have a therapist here who I think you're doing a great job, by the way, Doc.
Oh, thank you.
I can see why your practice is as popular as it is. Hey, you want to give your phone number out in case there are people? I don't know if you've heard our listeners. Are these people you want as clients?
Well, I could give it out. My Manhattan number is and in New Jersey it's
So if you have a talk show and you're having trouble with your co-host, that's the number to call.
See, Doctor, I agree with Noel. Andy's obviously very funny. I mean, he's a professional comedian. There's no questioning he's funny. But really, does he have to be so mean to every...
Well, that was my question. I was wondering whether Andy was using the medium as a way, in a sense, to express some of his hostility and then maybe temporarily feel better, even though he sustains the hostility overall. You know, you might feel
better.
Well,
that's interesting.
I think that's accurate. I think he's...
No, that is interesting.
I think he's extremely frustrated professionally, you know, as a comedy writer.
Well, I don't deny that I look forward, that I look at this hour every week as a way to blow off some steam. I look at it like as a very a cathartic hour. I look forward to it like some guys look forward to poker night, you know?
And I'll also tell you, Doctor, like the week he kicked the kid out of the band, when it was over, I turned to him, and in all seriousness, and so did Stork, our phone screener, and I turned to him and I said, how could you have done that? Don't you realize that for a high school kid, the band is more important than the girlfriend or the family or
Remember, I don't remember ever saying I was perfect.
Andy genuinely felt bad. He genuinely felt bad about it after the show. But when he's on the air, when he's blathering.
But if it's so habitual, why do you only have one instance that you're quoting? From a year ago. And number one, and to use Stork as someone to verify your story. Dr. Stork, let's hear it at least 12 times a day. Okay, this is a guy. So this is who Ken is bringing up as his, you know, as his buttress, you know. Oh, hey, you don't believe me, go ask Stork. Oh, my name's
And this is somebody who is volunteering to help us every week. Stork is there running a DAT tape, recording the show, screening the phone calls. And all Andy does on the air is joke about how much he...
That's...
No, it's not true.
It absolutely is true.
It doesn't even matter if it is true or
all
not.
Right, 5 is an educated guess. I'm a very good judge of people. You meet Stork at a party, casually, anywhere, and you say to yourself, this mouse mouth. Everyone would.
Okay. You know, I realize that the more I listen, I kind of enjoy the show, but I'm sort of getting more and more hostile.
You're becoming hostile.
Yeah, so I'll have to keep an eye on that.
Well, I know that was just a hostile joke you made, Doctor, about Stork.
Yeah.
I mean,
So I'm wondering if I'm actually falling under the Andy Breckman.
Well, doctor, I will tell you that we had Miss New Jersey on. She was a contestant for Miss America,
yeah.
And she did not become the least bit hostile.
Oh, all right.
So you might want to take a good long look in that mirror.
Okay.
Because not everyone becomes hostile. You can't tell that to yourself.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, except here we had Miss New Jersey on, and Andy kept...
I was so good.
Andy kept on wanting to veer it off into, like, Bob Packwood territory.
Not true!
And make all these little racy things, you know, about, you know...
And what did you want to talk about? Oh, is the sash tight when you sit down? What did you want to talk about?
I didn't do a lot of talking that week. That was your idea, to have Miss New Jersey on.
Well, excuse me for trying to get women interested in the show. Excuse me for thinking about the listeners.
That's going to get female FMU listeners interested in the show, is having Miss America on.
I think, in spite of themselves, I think our female listeners were fascinated.
Speaking of the Miss America show, you come in, and you, in all seriousness, before the show starts, you say to me, "Now remember, she's young. We don't want to we don't want to be mean to her. You know, she sounds really sweet, and you know she's doing this for us. You know, and she's all nervous." And Andy's seriously telling me, like, I have to be careful about going too far with her. The second we're on the air, Andy is like trying to, you know, veer it off and make all these sexual little jokes to her, and you know, completely put her on the spot.
Ken, how can you come at me like this for the last 55 minutes and then conclude that you're the nice guy?
And then
it's been a tirade of like that. Look, you can ask the doctor. You say, what would you say, doctor, if a husband just had this 1 hour long tirade about his wife and then ended up, but you have to admit, I'm the nice guy. He's just so hypocritical.
And then we did.
He's as hostile as me.
We did,
but
he
directs his hostility to me and not to the callers.
We did the bilingual show, and so Andy, the classic show. The idea,
another classic show.
Yes, a wonderful idea. It was a great idea. We had a Spanish English translator on the line in reaching out to our Spanish speaking listeners.
Yeah.
Okay. But what does Andy
do? What's wrong with
that? The way you were talking English to them, you were treating them like idiots. Why don't you do it for the doctor and tell him how you're, you know.
It's true, doctor, that I spoke a little more slowly that day.
Have you ever proved this point to each other? I mean, both of you have this idea of proving your point to the other, and then neither of you really ever give in.
You mean, has either of us been persuaded by the other's argument?
Right.
Once in a rare while.
When Ken pointed out how hurtful I was toward the band member,
yeah.
I remember feeling genuinely bad.
I see.
And I remember consciously trying to rein myself in the next week and to pull some punches and to be more aware of the caller's feelings.
Oh, okay. So you would agree that Andy can learn from his errors, so to speak, and you telling him what you think he did wrong and having him actually accept that?
Oh, you know, it has a very small effect on him.
I'm the first to admit that I don't have as much experience in radio as Ken, and I'm here to learn, and especially the first few years. I deferred to him constantly. He would say when the caller should be terminated, when a call should go on. And I deferred to him. I never argued with him.
Okay, so there is hope in the sense that the relationship is a little rocky right now, but you might be able to find...
What do you think we should do? What should we work on?
Well, you've got individual issues, and then you've got sort of couple issues. The individual issues are you, Ken, aren't that sure whether you even want to be associated with the entire enterprise.
And, that's accurate.
Yeah, and Andy, I think your own issue is...
By the way, I find that just stings so much.
Well, no, I mean, that's the reality, right?
I guess.
And Andy, I think your issue is you use this show, in a sense, to, as you call it, blow off some steam, and then you feel better, even though I suspect that it reintroduces hostility later on. I mean, you sort of get used to this fix of expressing hostility.
You see how he brings out hostility in others? He brought it out in you, and he brought it out in Betsy Ross.
I know what you're talking about, and I swear to God, doctor, my son fell down the stairs.
His son might even be listening, and he's joking about his son falling.
My son knows a joke from a non-joke. And by the way, Ken, so do our listeners. My son is 13, and he knows. Don't worry about our listeners, Ken. They're not little fragile paper dolls. Our listeners can take it.
Well, you heard that one guy tonight who said that he had been afraid to call. Before.
One guy, but you heard, maybe you also were here when the other two callers called.
So,
said they listened for me.
I have an idea about actually communicating better, which is occasionally why not express love towards the other?
Okay, I will if Ken does.
Okay, Ken? Are you ready to express some warm feelings towards Andy?
Of course.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You want to start it off because, you know. It's,
ask him if he loves
sure.
me.
Andy, I love you desperately.
Well, does that sound convincing, Andy?
Hello. Sarcasm, please. Hello. That was a sarcasm felony.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to hear it sincerely from Ken.
Do you want to try it one more time, Ken, or do you want something else from Andy first?
Yeah, I say I did it. Andy, you go ahead now.
I'll do it with the same tone because it means nothing. I'd be glad to do it. Yeah, Ken, I love you desperately too. There. I might as well be telling him what time it was. I know Ken well enough to know when it's from the heart. I'd like to hear it, Ken.
I love you madly.
He can't do it.
Is that better?
He's not man enough to do it.
I think there's affection there, but maybe the expression of it is a little bit rocky.
Duh, exactly.
I don't know what you want. A lot?
I'm the one that said I look forward to it all week. Ken, on Wednesdays, do you look forward to 6 o'clock?
I don't even think about it, really.
Liar. We should get Ken's wife to call. She's the only one that knows, if, in fact, he's honest with her.
Yeah, she doesn't listen anymore.
Hank doesn't listen anymore?
No. How many times can you look at a car wreck?
You are so mean. You don't think I'm being hurt. You think I'm like RoboPal. You know, oh, he's a robot. Oh, Andy can't get hurt. I'm not a robot. I have feelings, doctor.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't respect my feelings. I'm kind of being serious. How can he say those things? I know how that old lady in Vermont felt.
Well, it's good that you get a taste of your own medicine once in a while.
Oh, this is what you think you're here to do, to keep me in line.
You know, the other thing is I think the radio show might be therapeutic for you, and maybe that's the thing you both are getting from it. You know, you're communicating with each other probably better on the air than you do off the air.
Yeah, I would say that's true.
Yeah. So maybe that's some therapeutics there.
When we're together off the air, we can't wait to get to that movie. And have someone else entertaining us.
Uh-huh.
I would say that's true. So what I'm going to work on?
Yeah, you work on.
I'm going to work on thinking about the listeners. If Ken will agree to work on, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm going to work on thinking about the callers.
Right.
If Ken will agree to work on thinking about the listeners, Ken,
yeah,
that
sounds reasonable, Ken.
Yeah, sure. I can work on thinking about the listeners, but I'm just worried about...
Perhaps sometimes at the expense of the caller's feelings.
I'm going to worry about how to endure the next string of 5, 6, or 7 bad shows.
There are ways to enjoy the bad shows, as some of our listeners do.
Okay, so now we're back to the disgust and maybe the depression about
But that's Ken's twisted sort of worldview. That's how those are the glasses he looks at the world through.
Yeah, well,
I'm a glass half empty kind of person.
And I'm a glass half full.
You know why?
Tell me why.
It's a lot lighter to carry around a box of half-empty glasses.
Ken, it weighs exactly the same, my friend.
Oh, no, it doesn't, Andy.
Yes, it does.
I think you need a little physics class.
No, it weighs the same. Than a box of glass half-full glasses? It weighs exactly the same. It's like saying a pound of rocks or a pound of wood. It's a pound!
No, Andy, that's where you're mistaken.
You're wrong! You're insane. Doctor, which weighs more, a half-empty glass or a half-full glass?
I guess it depends on wind velocity and friction.
See? You see that?
Okay, listen. Dr. Pelosi, you've been great. This talk show, I think, can be saved.
Okay.
I'm afraid we might need you again in a couple of years. And send us a bill.
Okay.
Because I think this is covered by the FMU insurance plan. Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
We don't get paid.
There ain't no plan.
Oh.
Thanks very much again, Doctor, and we'll see you next week. This has been WFMU in East Orange, New Jersey.
You've been listening to the classic Ken and Andy Get Therapy episode from October 2nd, 1996. Next week, we shall be live in the studio, and 1 week from Friday night, December 5th at 8 p.m., Andy and I return to Monty Hall for the next live 7-second delay episode. This is going to be the Great Money Hunt, in which Andy hides $264 somewhere inside Monty Hall. Throughout the show, we will reveal clues as to where the money is hidden, and one lucky listener will walk away $259 the richer. All the unlucky listeners will lose an hour of their lives and the $5 admission. That's Friday night, December 5th, 8 p.m., 7-second delay live from WFMU's own Monty Hall, 43 Montgomery Street in Jersey City. More info at WFMU.org. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned next for YOY with Andrea.
Coming up on the show, Randy and I sit in the corner of an empty diner for breakfast.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
The pancakes that had the pumpkin in it, I thought they tasted horrible. Did you like those?
Yeah, I did. I think pumpkin's like a really underutilized flavor.
I think it's a woman flavor. So what did you want to ask me?
I have something I need to tell him, but before I get the chance, he develops an obsession with the old man across the room.
Look at this guy. He's like 80 years old. He's about to drop dead.
He's looking at you. Looking at him.
He's about to drop dead in his oatmeal.
He can hear you talking.
No, he's not. He's looking at your tigs. I'm telling you. How can he not? How can you avoid them?
The guy keeps looking at Randy, looking at him, looking at me, looking at me, looking at him, looking at my chest. It's awkward.
Look at him, guy. He's dripping oatmeal down his chin. And he's looking over at you, but he can't see anything now because you have a coat on. But now he's listening to your sex talk. And you know what? Keep it down. This is an establishment that doesn't need to hear some things like this.
Can't take him anywhere. Can't get rid of him either.
My heart is beating. Feel like an o'clock. My heart is beating. You can hear.
Test. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. I saw a dead hen sticker on a Cadillac. I said, never look back, gonna never look back. Chang tick oom 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 tick.
This is YOY. I'm Andrea Salenzi, and that was my friend Randy. Ever since I first had him on the show, he loves being recorded. When I go to the bathroom, he's figured out how to turn it on and sing Don Henley into it. When I interview him, sometimes he grabs my recorder out of my hands so he can speak into it more clearly. That's why this conversation we had after breakfast is especially hard on us. That's today's show. I'm going to be telling Randy that the time has come. I need to take the microphone away. Here's why. He started this podcast within my podcast called The Frog Cave. And without my graceful editing of Randy, he comes off as a little racist. Okay, he comes off as, like, totally racist. I'll play you some of the moments from the show. Few things you should know before you listen is that this is unedited, so you hear his retakes, his 1-2-3s. And also, in this first segment, he's talking about app ideas.
The next one is called Rots a Ruck, and that one is, I find it funny when English is translated into English. If you don't know what English is, it's the way that Chinese people talk. They have trouble pronouncing their L's. So instead of lollipop, they would say something like a rari pop. Or instead of llama, it would be a rama. So, Eric, if you could put a sound of a gong in here. 3, 2, 1. Okay, so if you had any word like love, it's like, okay, I love lollipops. Lucy loves lollipops. It would be, and you would plug it straight in, and then a voice would come out of your phone that says, I love a lollipops. And that is, you could play that for women in bars. You could play it for your coworkers, your younger cousins. It's a lot of fun.
And then there's this moment at the end of the show when he calls people of different backgrounds ethnic factions.
There's been a lot of hostility between the police and different ethnic factions recently. I'm sort of a news hound, and I've noticed a lot that the blacks seem very angry at the whites. And I want to put in my two cents here, and I think what it comes down to is just one thing, and that's just be cool, yo. Because cops, and I've known a lot of cops are your buds. You know who aren't your buds? Lifeguards aren't your buds, but cops put it all on the line for you. So if a cop comes up to you and you're shopping at Nordstrom's or something, and this cop says, yo, hey, let me see your ID. Just give it to him, all right? All right, so, and if you're in a Baptist church or something, and a cop says, get down on the floor, I want to frisk you. Just do it, right? Because the guy's a cop. He represents the law. So if this dude asks you for your ID, just give it to him. Just be cool, yo. If you're in a car that you own and it's after dark and you're driving home from work and you're exhausted and you're thinking about what to buy the kids grocery-wise, but the cops doesn't like the look of you, just pull the hell over, okay? Because it ain't race, it's grace.
Oh, God. So I broke the news to Randy over breakfast. No more Frog Cave on my show. No more Randy Unfiltered. It's just not working. Do you want to know why?
Why, oh, why? I don't care why. I don't really care why.
It's the racist stuff.
Oh, you got to be kidding. What was racist?
A lot of people think that your app idea where you remove the R's from language, I mean, it was just really over the top. And in the world of, like, post-Ferguson, and, you know, I have colleagues now who are really... who could hear this and think that I'm agreeing with you. I'm not comfortable with it.
Who's Ferguson? Is he a black comic? The whole point of the English thing, because it was funny. If you don't rub it, that's your...
No, stop.
That's your problem.
See what I'm dealing with? Most of our breakfast went along like this. Let's go now to the full conversation.
So the Frog Cave is the hottest new thing, and you know it'll be the hottest new thing. You're getting it for free. Are you an idiot? This is ridiculous. Andrea, don't look at me like that. Don't look like people are looking at us. They're not looking at us. I'll keep my voice down. Relax. The thing is, this Frog Cave is the hottest podcast out there. You're getting it for free, and now you're saying you're going to fire me? You got some balls. Do you have some balls? You got balls. Okay, so take the ball. I'm going to go back to my pancakes.
Breakfast is my treat, though. No, I can't pay you for your work, but
you.
Breakfast is my treat.
Screw you. I'm getting it. You don't. No woman is going to have to get this for me. But I do need some money. If you can pay me some money now, I will get breakfast, and I'll add on the $8 later when I pay you back. I'm going to pay you back. This is not a gift. This is a loan. Okay. Okay. Thanks.
I know you have a really hard time listening to me and taking...
Did you hear what I